Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Well, good morning, Victory Family Church. How are we feeling today? Awesome, awesome. Hey, I'm Pastor Ben, if I haven't met you, and I'm the middle school pastor here. I'm so glad that you're here. On your way in, everybody should have received a puzzle piece. Could you just hold it up in the air like you just do care? Just hold it up in the air for a minute. And hey, so we're gonna hold on to this for 1 second. Keep it in your hands, and you can set it down. But we're gonna get to that in a moment. I wanted to take a second and just acknowledge our senior pastors, Pastor John and Miss Michelle Nuzzo. They are amazing, kind, generous, loving people. And we exist as a church to help all people realize that God loves them unconditionally. That's one of the things I love about Pastor John and Miss Michelle. They do such a great job loving people right where they're at, right where they're at. They're amazing. It's awesome. And another thing that I love about them is that they give young leaders the opportunity to be developed and to grow, both men and women alike. And I'm a perfect example of that. So this is my first time communicating at this magnitude. I wanted to share with you a quick disclaimer. Now, first off, I have been quarantined with your middle schoolers for 3 years now. So I don't know what's gonna happen today, but we're just gonna roll with it. And second of all, Pastor John has spent some time coaching me beforehand. So if this goes horribly wrong, you can just blame Pastor John. And if it goes really bad, you can go ahead and blame Pastor Steve Moore for coaching Pastor John for coaching me. But I wanted to share a little bit about me. Now, I'm 28 years young. I've got 4 chest hairs, 1 credit card, 1 daughter, 1 wife. I love riding dirt bikes. Who here drinks coffee? I love coffee. Thank you, Jesus. And I love food. And holla at your boy, I really love to ride dirt bikes. Now, I grew up in a small town called Burgettstown. We had more cows and pastures than we did sidewalks. And that's a little bit about me. Now, I'm married to this wonderful woman right over here. She's amazing. Her name is Alyssa. She is Mexican, spicy, Bocas Locas Forever Holmes. And oh, I think the world of her. She is awesome. And we have a beautiful family. We just had a daughter not long ago. She's almost 1. In 2 weeks, she's going to be 1. And boy, she jumped in time, huh? And I got a picture of my family real quick I wanted to show you. Oh, man. My little girl, she wrecks my heart. The other day, we dropped her off at Children's Church, and when I came to pick her in, I walked in, and she just said, "Dada?" And I was like, "Girl, what you want? I got 1 credit card. We'll max it out. I'll go get another credit card." Like, oh, my gosh. But I wanted to show you a video of my daughter, and her name is, before I show this video, her name is Mila Catalina Archer. Mila Catalina Archer. Coincidence? I think not, and so she's so much fun. Check out this video real quick. Oh, that just brings... it just brings so much joy to my heart. You know, you're never too old and you're never too young to worship Jesus. And so that's a little bit about my family. Now, we're gonna go ahead, we're gonna open up our Bibles. We're gonna turn to Jeremiah 18, verse 1. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. So if you got your Bibles with you, you can start turning there. If you brought your phone with you, that's your Bible, and you could download the YouVersion app. And if you don't have any of that stuff this morning, that's okay. We'll have it up on the screen behind me. And, you know, I just wanted to share with you, this is something I say to the middle school students all the time, that note takers are history makers. And I encourage you to take notes this morning. God dealt with my heart years ago about taking notes on every podcast, every message, everything that I've listened to. And I do my best to teach it. Why? Because if it encouraged me, I believe it'll encourage you. And so I just encourage you to take notes. Note takers are history makers. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. This is a prophet named Jeremiah. And so just some quick context for who Jeremiah is. Before we read these scriptures, before Jeremiah ever walks out and steps out into his calling, God speaks to him. Jeremiah chapter 1, God says, he says, Jeremiah, before you were ever born, I knew you. In fact, I appointed you. I positioned you before you were ever born. I just want to encourage you today that God's not getting caught up on your life. God's not catching up the speed on who you are. The Bible says in Psalms 139 that you've been fearfully and wonderfully made, that God knit you together in your mother's womb. Come on, God crafted your personality. God gave you your gift mix. God gave you your intellect, and our God is a God of blessing. God's got a plan for your life. And watch what he says in Jeremiah chapter 18. God comes and speaks to this prophet Jeremiah. This is so good. Follow along with me. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. And so I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping was from clay that was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like the clay in the hand of a potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. And if at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster that I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be built up and planted, and it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good that I had intended to do for it. This is amazing. This is riveting in scripture. God is telling Jeremiah, and he's explaining the power that he has over nations and people. God is explaining to Jeremiah and asking him to do some things so that Jeremiah can see some things he's never seen before, so that he can be exposed to a greater dimension and a greater perspective. Come on, I'm declaring over your life in the name of Jesus that you're gonna see some things you've never seen before, that you're gonna see signs and wonders, and you're gonna see healing in you and through you in the name of Jesus. God's gonna do some things in your life. And he said in Jeremiah, I want you to go down. I'm gonna reveal some things to your heart about the way that I operate. I wanna preach a message today, and I pray that you're taking notes. You could write down today's title of our talk. It's called The Potter's House. Just go ahead and find a neighbor and eyeball them up and tell them, yeah, The Potter's House. We can have fun in church, right? Hey, we're gonna bow our heads and we're gonna pray. We're just gonna believe that God's gonna come and strengthen us this morning and encourage us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Father, open our eyes so we can see Jesus. Open our ears so we can hear the Holy Spirit. Do what only you can do in this setting and in this place, God. And I thank you for mending hearts and doing miracles. And I thank you that you created us on purpose for a purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said together, amen. Amen. So I need some crowd participation for a second. Real quick, by a show of hands, how many of us remember when we were in school and when we were in love? Just go ahead and you can put up your hand. Awesome, okay. So now when I was in school, when I was in fifth grade, I was dating this girl, her name was Amanda. Now Amanda and I, we thought that we were gonna get married. Why? Because one time we held hands, it was a big deal. Like we were gonna get, she was the one, you know what I'm saying? And so one morning, right before class got started, all these people start coming in. My buddy Anthony, he comes walking in, and then this girl comes in behind him. And she goes, hey Ben, I don't know if you heard, but Amanda and Anthony, they were K-I-S-S-I-N-G. I was furious. I mean, I was livid. I was so mad. And so Anthony stands up and he signs out to go to the restroom. So, you know, I'm so mad. I know I'm not up to any good. I'm not thinking straight. So I stand up and I follow him right out of the room. Now, as I'm walking around the corner, I'm going into the bathroom, my fist is clenched, my heart's racing, hands sweaty, mom spaghetti, you know? And I come walking around the corner, lo and behold, what do I see with my own two eyes? I see Anthony standing at the urinal. Now, fellas, you know that when you walk into a restroom and you're standing at a urinal, you've got options. Ladies, I just want to apologize in advance for the creative image, but you've got about four options. Now, when you walk in, you've got option number one, hand on the hip. And then you got option number two, it's hand on the neck, and it's when you take your hand, you rub it through your hair, and you kind of just rest. And then option number three, I like to call this hand on the wall. There's a question attached to this. Are you holding up the wall, or is the wall holding up to you? It's not clear. And then there's option number four. This one takes time. This one takes development. This takes years to master and get this down. And it's basically when you take both of your hands, you interlock your fingers like so, and you just kind of you place them behind your neck. And I like to call it freestyle, right? And so when I walked into the restroom, lo and behold, what did I see with my own two eyes? I see Anthony standing at the urinal freestyling. Now, I'm so mad. I grab his arm to pull him back because, you know, I go to pull him back. I'm looking at him, looking at me, looking at him, looking at me, looking at him. I look down, I'm getting wet right now. Like, I did not think this through. This is a disaster. And my fist is clenched. It's cocked back. I'm ready to rock. And something happened from point A to point B. Like, I'm not quite sure, but like, as I let my fist go and it's just flying through the air, my hand opened up and I ended up slapping him. And it was like, ah! Like, he was shocked. I was shocked. We had a moment. And then we began the fight. And I know what you're asking. You're like, Ben, how does this have anything to do with today's message? Well, I'll tell you. So when I was growing up, I was often getting into things that I shouldn't have been getting into. I was often doing things that would have been considered bad. I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. I was, in fact, the troubled kid. If you knew me then you would have called me the bad kid. Later that year, my teacher actually said in front of the whole class to me that I would never amount to anything and that I'd be flipping burgers for the rest of my life. See, when we see kids acting out, there's always a deeper issue. You could call it the root issue. You could say, what's the root of the problem, right? And so when kids are going through something, what they don't say, they act out. So what I did is I highlighted the problem in my life. I told you the story of what happened, but what I didn't tell you was the root of the issue. See, in my home, as I was growing up, there was addiction in my home. The real reason I fought Anthony, the real reason I did other bad things was because of addiction in my home, and I was navigating that from a young age. And if I were to ask you to slip up your hands, and by the way, I don't want you to, but if I had to ask you how many people know somebody that is going through addiction or has struggled with it, I believe everybody would put their hand up. We all know somebody that's struggling with addiction, and it can hurt us. But listen, I want to talk today about how our God is not a God of chaos. He's not a God of confusion. And he's a strategic God, that God has fearfully and wonderfully made you for a specific role and a specific purpose. God created you on purpose for a purpose. And God made you just the way that you are. Listen, God doesn't make you one way to use you another way. God made you just the way you are to use you in a specific, purposeful way. Come on, is there anybody thankful today that God made you just the way that you are? And watch this. And though he loves you just the way you are, he loves you way too much to leave you that way. Thank God that he created you, that God gave you your gift mix. He gave you your personality. He gave you your intellect. And our God is a God of blessing. And I love this thought. Watch what God does to Jeremiah. Hey, God wants to show Jeremiah just how powerful he is. God wants to show Jeremiah just what he can do with a person's life. So the first thing that he speaks to Jeremiah is he says, Jeremiah, I need you to get out of your comfort zone. I need you to get out of the environment that you're in. Jeremiah, I need you to get away from what you know, and I need you to come on down to the potter's house, and I've got a message for you there. So I've got a few things for us to write down today, and you could write down thought number one this morning. Sometimes you've got to get to that place to get the message. Sometimes you've got to get there so that you can hear what God is saying. He said, Jeremiah, I want to say some things to you, but I can't speak to you because the television's on too loud, and you've been watching Cops for the past 2 hours. Like Jeremiah, I want to speak to you, but you've been Facebook creeping and scrolling for 4 hours now. Hello, somebody. And I need you to get away. Come on a walk with me, Jeremiah. Go on a prayer walk with me. And sometimes you've got to realize that you and I, we've been invited by God into his presence. That he's invited you. God is wooing Jeremiah, isn't he? He said, Jeremiah, come on down to the potter's house. Let's get to church. Let's put on the podcast. Let's put away that kind of music and begin to listen to some God kind of music. And he's inviting Jeremiah away to get the message. I just want to say to you today that God has a message for you. God has something he wants to say to you. And sometimes you and I, we can't hear God, not because God isn't speaking, but it's because we're not available for the word. Sometimes you've got to get into his environment, and you've got to get into his presence so that God can begin to download into your heart what he has for you. God has some stuff that he wants to speak to you, and he said, Jeremiah, you better come on down. We're fixing something good at the potter's house. And God is saying, Jeremiah, I can't speak to you over there because it's too convenient. It's too familiar. You're too comfortable. So come on down now. I've got something I want to say, Jeremiah, you got to hear this. God has something he wants to speak to you. And some of us, we don't hear from God because we're so distracted by things in our natural environment. Turn off the phone. Go on a walk. Pull out a pen. Get out the journal. Do whatever you got to do to get to your potter's house to get alone with God. This is so important. Jesus himself modeled this for us. The Bible says that Jesus, he would always go and get away in the presence of the Father, right? The disciples, they would go crazy. They'd go nuts. They'd be like, you've seen Jesus? Hey, anybody seen Jesus? You all seen Jesus? We're looking for Jesus. Where'd Jesus go? Where's Jesus at? Anybody seen Jesus? We can't find Jesus. Listen, when you get alone in the presence of God, you will find your purpose. Translation, your purpose is found in his presence. When you get into his presence, you will discover the purposes that God has for you. Jesus knew the purposes that need to be downloaded into his heart. So God's saying to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, come on down to the potter's house, and I want to tell you some things. And the Bible says that Jeremiah, that he walks down to the potter's house, he goes, I went to the potter's house, and you wouldn't believe it. It was crazy. I was astonished. I didn't think that this was going to be the case, but it ended up being the case. And I went there and I see the potter working the wheel. The potter himself was working the wheel. It wasn't an assistant. It wasn't an angel. It was the potter himself sitting there working the wheel. You could write down thought number two this morning. God himself is working the wheel. Come on, God's working on your life. God didn't send another spirit. God didn't send a pastor. God didn't send a leader. No, Jesus himself is at work in your life. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 13, it says, for it is God who is at work in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Let me just say that again. For it is, who is at work in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. The Bible says God's working on your life. God's at work. God works the day shift. He works the night shift. He works the midnight shift. God doesn't work on your life because you came to a church service or a building. God's been working on your life all the days of your life. He's working on you. You ought to walk around this place with a big old sign on your head saying, under construction. Because that's what we are. We are under construction. I don't know about you, but I need some grace in my life. I'm not perfect. I've not arrived. I thank God that I'm under construction. Don't judge my journey. I'm under construction, and the Bible promises that he who has begun a good work will be faithful to complete it. God doesn't leave projects half finished. God's not going to reveal his plan to you and say, oh, good luck, Chuck. Go figure it out yourself. No, God is working. God is shaping. God is multiplying. God is helping. God is at work in us both to do in the will for his good pleasure. This is who God is. God is at work. God's working on my life. God's helping my character. He's helping my thinking pattern. He's helping my self-image. He's helping my relationships. God's leading me to another level. God is at work in my life. God's at work in Victory Family Church. You know, last week we had Rally Day weekend for small groups. By the way, we have the most small groups than we've ever had. It's amazing. It's not too late to get into a small group and let God work in your life. That's why we as a church, we tell people that we want you to find freedom. And how we do that is we get into small groups, and we believe that you will find freedom if you get into a small group, that God will do a miracle in your life if you'll let him. In fact, get into a freedom group. It will change your life. I'll never forget the first time I came to Victory and I got jumped into a small group. It helped me get plugged into our church. It took our big church and made it so small. Then I took a freedom group. And then I went to the freedom retreat, and God did a miracle in my life. God changed my life. I wouldn't encourage you to do something I haven't done. Maybe you've done small groups before, and now it's time for you to step out and begin to lead one. And if you'll step out to the call that God has placed on your life, then you will see people like me begin to walk in freedom because of your obedience to God. It's not too late. It's not too late. Now, watch what Jeremiah says. Oh, watch what he said. He said, I went down to the potter's house and you, You will not believe what I saw. Lo and behold, with my own two eyes, I see the potter working the wheel. And you know what was crazy? Is the potter had this piece of marred clay in his hands. In other words, the clay wasn't perfect. In fact, you could write down thought number three this morning. I'm not perfect, and that's okay, because I'm a work in progress. The clay was marred, which means destroyed, which means broken. I'm thankful that today, that though I'm broken, though I have mistakes, that God, he takes my brokenness and he's working it on the wheel. He takes my mistakes, my failures, my sins, and all the things that I've done wrong. And God says, you know what? I can work this. I can do something with this. You don't have to worry about it. What the enemy intended to harm you, come on. I'm going to make it and turn it around for the good. Thank God that he's working it on the wheel. He takes what's broken and he's working it for your good. I love this about God. God didn't say, you know what? Before we start working on you, we just need to clean you up a bit, okay? God didn't say, all right, guys, I know you showed up to church this morning, but if we could just get your beliefs right, then no. It's not what God said. There's no requirement. In fact, God does his best work through brokenness. He takes which is broken and marred and destroyed, and he puts it back together again for something that he can do for and use for his glory and his perfection. Oh, I'm telling you today that this is his specialty, that he is the potter and we are the clay. And you might have come to church this morning feeling like you're marred clay, but I promise you that you are in the hands of a God that can do something in your brokenness. You know, when I was growing up, I shared with you that there was addiction in my home. I shared with you why I was lashing out. Addiction in my home almost left me crippled. Because of addiction, I grew up in a home that was literally falling apart emotionally and physically. I mean, because of addiction, there were times, there were winters, and I'm not kidding you, there were winters when we would huddle around a kerosene space heater. When I was 8 years old, my 9-year-old friend died of a brain aneurysm right in front of me in a field. And because of addiction, I was left to navigate that alone. I was reading this book by Sean Covey, and it's called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens. And he was talking about how thoughts turn into actions, actions turn into habits, habits turn into character, and a character can turn into a destiny. See, the world would say that my destiny would be that I become a product of the environment that I grew up in. But what the world doesn't factor in is God. But God. I came to God and I was marred clay, and God began to do a work in me. By the way, it's hard to work with hard clay. I don't know if you've ever sat behind a potter's wheel but if you get hard clay in your hands, it's like, dang, what are we gonna do with this thing? Like, if you put it on the potter and it starts spinning, you put your hand, you're gonna break your fingers. But you gotta get some water and you gotta begin to soften that thing up. And God says that you might be like the clay and you might need to come to me softened up and come to me with tenderness and come to me acknowledging your brokenness. But oh, if you'll come with tenderness, I can work this. I can mold this thing. I can shape this thing. But it's hard to work with hardness. Come on, I'm telling you today that if you come before the Lord with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, these things the Lord will not despise you. He will use it, he will shape it, and God will do what only he can do in your life. Somebody thank God that in my brokenness, that's where his power is made perfect. He's working it, isn't he? He's shaping it, he's molding it. He takes what's marred, corrupt, broken, and maimed, and he's shaping it for his glory and his perfection. He's fitting us into the puzzle as he sees fit. I want to tell you today that God has made you to be a piece in the puzzle. Could you pull out your puzzle piece real quick? Just take a moment. Everybody, look at your puzzle piece for 1 second. Just take a moment. Every single person in here has a different puzzle piece. And God has made you as he saw best for you to fit. God has a unique position for you, a unique design for you. By the way, we're not the same without you. When you're not here, when you're absent, we are missing a piece of the puzzle. We are missing a piece of the story. Anybody can do what you can do, but nobody can replace who you are. You know, when my wife, Alyssa, and I, when we were dating the very first Christmas, I made her a blanket. And it was a custom-made blanket. It was one of my gifts to her. There's never been another like it. There'll never be another like it. It was a designer's original. You are a designer's original. You're one off. There's never been another like you. There'll never be another like you. And you are who you are. By the grace of God, I'm thankful today that there'll never be another me. And there'll never be another you. And I want to encourage every single one of you to go through the Our Church experience, because that's how we as a church help to get you plugged in and take your gifts and your talents, your God-given gifts and talents, and get you plugged into the family. By the way, you are family here. The minute you walk through these doors, you belong here. Welcome to the family. God has given every single one of us gifts and talents. And you know, when we come together as the body of Christ, as God has intended us to, we create a beautiful picture. And I encourage you to hold on to your puzzle piece as a reminder that you are a designer's original. You're one off. And God wants to tell you that he's going to use you in the way that he has fashioned you. You're not perfect, and that's okay, because we're a work in progress. And I just want to encourage you with the last thought, and we're going to close with this. I'm going to invite the worship team to come out and join me. You can write down thought number 4. Jesus is my God-given potential. That my God-given potential, it's not wrapped up in something else or even myself. Jesus is my God-given potential. So the more I say yes to Jesus and I serve Jesus and I walk with Jesus and I love Jesus and I worship him, then I can realize my God-given potential. When you say yes to Jesus and you serve him, remember that your purpose is not wrapped up in what you do. Your purpose is not wrapped up in what you've done. Your purpose is wrapped up in who you're becoming. I declare over your life in the name of Jesus that you tap into your God-given potential. God's got a plan for your life. He's got such a marvelous future in store for you. And if I were you, I would sit there and smile. I mean, like a big old smile, ugly smile, cheese it. Because your future is so bright. God has such amazing, marvelous things in store for you. And that's why he was talking to Jeremiah. And he said to Jeremiah, "You didn't get it, did you? Jeremiah, I've got something to show you. Come on down to the potter's house." And he gets there and he's like, it's this guy, it's this dude. He's working the wheel, and how in the world does he do it? He takes what's broken and marred and he turns it into splendor. And God stops the picture for a moment, doesn't he? And he ends these verses in Jeremiah. He says, "Jeremiah, I will do this to anyone who says yes to me. To anyone that says, I'll serve God." And he begins to speak to Jeremiah and say, "I will do, I will revive, I will lift, I will renew. I will bless anybody that presents themselves in this manner." Church, are you hearing me today? That God has a plan, God has a future, and it's knowing God, it's finding freedom, it's discovering our purpose, and it's making an impact. Am I preaching to anybody today that wants to take a trip down to the potter's house and see what God is up to? Can we stand to our feet? We're going to go back into worship. Service isn't over. I'm asking that you don't leave. I believe God's doing a miracle in this room right now. I believe God's mending hearts. I believe God's mending relationships. I believe God's mending marriages in the name of Jesus. I believe God's doing what only he can do. Will you let him? I'm gonna ask everybody if you would just lift your hands. You know, the reason why we lift our hands when we worship God is we're saying multiple things. We're saying, "Jesus, if I could just set my eyes on you, if I could just see you." You know, the very posture of us worshiping Jesus like this, we're saying, "God, my hands open. More of you, God, and less of me. Do what only you can do. Thank you for molding me and shaping me. Thank you for making me the best version of myself." You know, sometimes we go through storms. Sometimes we go through problems. God didn't cause that problem, but there's a promise in the problem. I was talking to Alyssa when we were in worship, and I was thinking about anointing oil. God gives us the grace to go through situations. We just need to lean into Him. Keep our eyes on Jesus. We worship Jesus. And I was thinking about anointing oil, and you know, when anointing oil is made, the olives are crushed. They go under extreme pressure. And you might feel crushed. You might feel like you're going through something. God, how can I get through it? But there's an anointing that can come out of it. God created you on purpose for a purpose. Sometimes we've got to get away to get the message. God is working the wheel. He's doing what only He can do. And Jesus is our God-given potential. This morning, if you came in here and you haven't made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, I'd love to pray with you. You know, next week we're starting a series called Playlist, and Pastor John talks about 2 out of 52. 2 weekends a year, bring somebody to church. 5 years ago, this fall, a girl named Sarah invited me to church here. I worked with her at Dick's corporate office, and I just want to encourage you that the person that you bring to church, it could change the trajectory of their life. Just as God has changed mine. And maybe somebody invited you to church. God's doing something so new and fresh in you. God is so good. I want to pray with everybody. If you'd all bow your heads and close your eyes. If you came in here today and you haven't made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, would you just slip up your hand right where you're at? Praise God. Praise God. We're all going to pray together. I'd never embarrass you. I'd never single you out. Jesus said that on the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father except through me. The Bible says in Romans that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe it in your heart, that you will be saved. Can everybody repeat after me? Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and He died on the cross for my sins. And Jesus, I receive you to be my Lord. I'm a child of God, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's praise God for a moment. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I could spend this morning with you. I pray that you have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.